for the weekend. Woo! Ready for the weekend.
And now, it's the Mike Calta Show Friday House Party.
Give me the green light. Give me just one night. I'm ready to go right now. I'm ready to go right now.
Back to Mike Calta's house party. Pew, 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 pew.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what was going on. I'm sure they probably heard me on air go, are we on? We're just eating some food,
so
guys.
We are. I think Jeff Dye might be here.
I think so.
I know he was at the gate, but they haven't texted me back yet. I'll say, yeah, I think they're here.
I don't know what to do.
Perfect. Thank you, Gio.
Doing a very good job.
What do you need? What do you need? What do you need?
Host the show.
Where's Jeff sitting?
I figured I was going to let him sit over here.
You want him to sit here?
I'll let him.
Someplace close to me. Move the chair over here to let the guests sit. You're the worst.
Oh, boy.
You throw this out, Carl.
No wonder he put best friend in Gio's card.
Are we live on the air?
Yes.
I think so.
Best friend. I should have put best worker.
Best guy ever.
Most responsible.
Hold on. I'll move this chair.
You're not even hosting the show very well. Hoppy, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hoppy, you see the news about...
you know what? Wait, what?
See the news about Open Mouth Sally getting a promotion?
Good for him.
You're not jealous of that? Not mad?
Jealousy is going to lead to more failure. I'm happy for him. He deserves it.
All right, good. Don't fail. Look at you, Star-Lord. Look at this guy. Come in, sit down, relax. Hey, no. We're all antibody heroes. Yeah. Yeah. We're live on the air. Jeff Dye is here. What's up, buddy? Jeff is going to be a Vasani. I have to tell you, there's a part of me that is incredibly guilty that you drove all the way here.
Why?
Because it's far.
I'm happy to be here.
I put that thing right in front of your mouth so I could hear you talk.
He said, you want to go to Mike Calta's? I said, yes.
What kind of stupid travel plans did you make last time during Super Bowl? I was like, hell yeah, we want to talk to Jeff Dye. And then you came in that morning.
I've been avoiding press, to be honest.
Well, because you got fancy girlfriends?
Yeah, me and my... Well, there's the thing. That's all people want to talk about.
Not me. I want to talk about past relationships.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I know.
But it's just... It's like... They'll... Even on... I'm trying to think what I was on. I don't remember. I called in for something. I was doing a show.
When you were here?
I just did a show for Netflix.
Okay.
And so they're like, let's promote it, blah, blah, blah. And the second, I said, listen, I'm not going to talk about my personal life. And the first thing he does is like, oh, it's not very often we get somebody who's in the tabloids. Like, hey, I was just Googling you, and what's with you and Kristen Cavallari? It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. I just assume you're banging every hot chick in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That just makes you feel better.
Before
for me.
Her, I was.
Yeah.
You know what I just thought of when Jeff walked in? Did you go out for the role of Kevin on This Is Us?
No.
You totally,
been.
Right?
Been, yeah.
Is that the, what's his name?
The beautiful guy.
He's so hot.
Yeah.
But you
what's
totally.
Justin something?
Yeah, Martin? Yeah.
Nah. Dude, that guy's one of the best looking dudes I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's pretty hot.
But just the way you're dressed and stuff, the way you came in, I'm like, Jeff could play that role.
It's very nice.
It's got a little bit of comedy
all
to
night.
It.
I slept like 2 hours.
Right? Works for
it
you.
It works, yeah, it's working.
But the that guy, Justin, whatever, I interviewed him at the Golden Globes, and I was literally like, you're the best looking guy I've ever seen. He's like, you're very attractive.
Mutual.
Yeah, mutual, yeah, you know.
Justin Hartley is his name.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, good-looking guy.
I'm not going to talk about this. I don't even really know who Kristen is. Are you still dating her?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not even caring. I know her name. I know she dated
she's
athletes.
She's the greatest
whatever.
Of all time, yeah.
So you're very happy.
Very happy,
oh,
yeah.
good. Yeah. I like that you're happy. I like that you're grounded. I feel like you slayed enough Hollywood... hot girl that you
well,
need
so
to probably settle
I
down.
Was super honest forever.
Yeah.
Like, every girl I hooked up with, I was like, listen, we're not going to be together.
Yep.
We also don't have to hook up if you don't want. Like, let's just have fun. Let's hang out. And that made him want to, I think.
Yeah.
I don't, like, let's just, I don't want to do this. I don't want, like, because here's the thing. And some women will call this misogynistic or whatever, but here's the thing. There's plenty of men who don't want a girlfriend, right?
Yes.
Are they just supposed to be celibate?
No, yeah, you're right. They got to do something.
So you find a girl who's in the same situation as you, who's like, I'm also pursuing my career or in acting or music or whatever, and I also don't want a boyfriend. So you find those. Those are the people that should be hanging out.
I like to cuddle, go to dinner, and bang every once in a while.
Yeah, and if you want to have sex, we can have sex. If you don't, then you don't.
We still have good, fun
times.
And I was
always very honest. And so the girls like respected that about me. Like, oh, I'm hanging with this guy, and he's great about it. Like, if I ran into her and a different dude at like a movie or something, I'm not going to be like, what's this? I'd be like, I just pretend I don't know you.
Right.
It's okay. Like, I'm also hanging out with other girls. You can hang out with other guys.
Ooh, I think I'm too jealous to do that. I think, yeah, I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm going to see other girls. And then if I saw them out on a date, I'm not calling her anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would be.
I'm so fascinated by young Mike Calta.
Oh, he was not as cool as old Mike Calta, I can tell you that.
I love old Mike Calta.
Young Mike Calta was a fat nerd.
You started talking about this morning. You were talking about, like, White Sox and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
man, you've been in the car a long time.
Well, but I know. But I remember I was thinking, like, I wonder what young Mike Calta was like.
So I posted a video last night on Facebook that came up in my memories. I was driving down, it was about 6 years ago, maybe a little longer, maybe 8 years ago. I was driving down 41 over here, which is a busy thing. And some guy in a moped pulled out in front of me and cut me off and then gave me the finger. And then I pulled up next to him. We both got stuck at the light together. And I just went, rolled on my window. And I was like, give me that finger now and I will get out and I will shove it up your ass. And I'm yelling at him. And I go, next time, don't pull out in front of me and then give me the finger. But it was at a much higher level of anger.
Sure. Right, and we're still not sure if it was a guy or a lady because it looked like lady.
Wearing a helmet.
He took a picture, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that was a lady.
Mike's treating these ladies like equals.
Yeah,
that's right.
Good for him.
And my thing was is that I watched it, and I was so angry, and I don't have that anger anymore.
Really?
Yeah, it would really take a lot for you. I don't care. You can cut me off. Give me 10 fingers. I don't care. I just got too much good stuff going on right now to even care. Young Mike Calta was borderline, I'm either going to get in trouble or I have to do something good. Like, I was leaning towards, I don't know where my life is going. I might do some bad things.
You're like a young Padawan. You know, he's like, am I choosing the dark side or am I the...
My last job before radio was I drove a forklift in a warehouse in Bayonne, New Jersey.
Okay. Because it pays good, those warehouse jobs.
Paid good, but also...
They'll hire felons.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that's true.
Yeah. Oh,
so, like,
I'll
tell the youth of America right now, like, let's say you think, oh, I'm not going to graduate high school. I'm going to be whatever. You can still make some good scratch working at these warehouse. Like, hardworking jobs like that, like, you make good money.
Yeah. So, but on top of being the forklift driver, the warehouse I worked in had a federal license to house cocoa beans and chocolate. I'm sorry. Cocoa is chocolate. Coffee beans and cocoa beans.
Okay.
And the cocoa beans would be used to make chocolate and the coffee beans for coffee. But they were both federally regulated about what came in the country and went out. They had to go through customs and all that. And we were like one of only three warehouses in the state that had a license to, and it had to be inspected by the feds and all that. So it was a big deal. Well, somebody was stealing from there.
Yeah, every job.
So my father's friend owned the company, the warehouse company, so they put me in there to keep an eye on things. But they don't tell me that the reason that they're one of only three companies that has a license is because they are run by the mob.
Oh,
so
God.
The mob is now in there. So now I'm like, well, is the mob robbing them? Because I don't want to rat out the
right,
mob.
Yeah.
I got some old Puerto Rican kid who just got out of jail, and he's robbing. I'll rat him out.
It's Johnny Two-Face Malucci. Oh, boy. You're in trouble.
Well, he's just got to be like, no one's stealing. Yeah. I've seen nothing.
Yep. Well, I did find somebody.
Yeah.
And I went to Gary, who was the mob guy, the mob representative that worked there. He had a no-show job, but he would come in every once in a while. I was like, Gary, I think I got somebody stealing. And he goes, this is an absolutely true story that my father's probably going to be so mad that I'm telling. And he goes, this is what you do, Mike Calta. He's calling Mike Calta. He goes, you drive the forklift.
Yeah.
When the driver asked you to make a deal, you roll up your sleeves on the forklift, and I'll know that it's going down.
Oh, my God.
I am 22 years old at the time. I go, okay. So this guy, there's a crack in the cement at the door, and this guy shoves a $100 bill in the crack, and he tells me, put the last one in sideways, and you could put one more pallet on the thing. So I roll up my sleeves, and out comes Gary, straight out of central casting for mobster. Gary runs outside the building, gets inside somebody's 18-wheeler that he doesn't know how to drive.
Yeah, he used too many gears for him.
And pulls it in front of the gate so nobody can leave. Then he starts closing all the bay doors, and they go, oh, God, this is going down right now. Takes the guy, drags him out of the car, brings him in, and brings him to an upstairs that I didn't know existed. So then I am in the warehouse knowing that this guy is going to get murdered and it's on me. And I start hearing, Mike Counter. And I go, oh, God, come upstairs. I'm like, I don't even know how to get upstairs. So I go upstairs, and Gary has got this guy duct taped up, sitting on the floor.
Oh, my God.
And he looks at me, and he's kind of like trying to show off a little bit. He looks at me, goes, you speak Spanish, right? I don't speak Spanish. He looks at me, goes, you speak Spanish, right? I go, he goes, tell this guy if he doesn't start talking to me in English, I'm going to cut his tongue out. And I was like, and the guy's like, see, I speak English.
Yeah, I heard you.
I'm in my 20s. This is happening in front of me. And Gary's like, I'm going to ask you questions, and you're going to give me answers. And he goes, and I swear to God, if you don't, it was the Thursday before, or the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. He goes, I will leave you here till after the holidays. In the upstairs I didn't know existed. So I left finally, and they got whatever they needed to get from this guy, and they let these guys go, and they moved the truck. And that was the first of many things to happen after that. And the closer I got to this guy, the more I realized I need to move. I need to get out of this job, and I need to move because my future is going to be doing bad things for Gary.
Sure.
And I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah, and then you're so entangled in that's your life for sure.
They hired a guy to run the warehouse as general manager, and he could not grasp the concept that the mob was the one running the things, not him. Mm. So they would butt heads. So my job now became to destroy that guy's life.
Yeah.
We were popping his tires. We were putting chemicals on his car.
Oh, my God.
We were trying to make him quit. The feds come to inspect the warehouse, and Gary goes, listen to me, Mike. He's like, I can't have this guy. I can't have him here anymore. He goes, when the feds come, you know how everything's going to be nice and clean. I go, yeah. And he goes, take the forklift and knock over a bunch of pallets. So drove the forklift down, put it in, threw them over the side. Yeah. Then the feds came, they went down the aisles, they found all that, they wrote them up, and so finally I went to my dad's friend, and I go, I gotta quit, I gotta go, I gotta leave, and I came back here to Florida. Yeah. Thank God I did, because I wasn't rising in the ranks of the mob, I was just gonna be the guy who does all the dumb stuff and ends up taking the heat for everybody.
Well, that, like the Iceman, that's the thing I always think about, like sometimes I'll watch like a movie, I was watching some movie with, that hot Australian guy who's like killing a bunch of people on Netflix.
Right.
And I remember being like, man, I'm so glad I make my money honest.
Yeah.
I always watch those things, I just think, oh man, I don't have to like look over my shoulder, I don't think.
I used to be poor, and I would lay in bed and I couldn't sleep because I knew that my credit card payment was late.
Oh yeah.
And I knew, you know, I had all these stress from work and all that stuff. Now that I'm legit, I have I just done yesterday.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of money back in my taxes, and I don't sweat it. Yeah, because I pay.
Back? I forgot we're in Florida.
Yeah, you're right. But I have a lot of legit, I do a lot of donations to charities. Oh, yeah. I run a charity. I do a lot of things the right way, so I never have to worry about drama. If they came to me and said, we're auditing you tomorrow, I mean, I'd be a pain in the ass, but I'm like, no sweat.
Yeah, I'm same.
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't know. I don't ever get money back.
You don't get, but you're an independent contractor? Like, how do you file?
I'm incorporated, but I mean, like, I pay heaps. Yeah. I live in Los Angeles.
California's killing
you. Dude, it's brutal.
Yeah, you're paying that state
tax. Yeah, tax time's the only time I'm, like, an angry guy.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there going, like, I can't believe I'm paying this. And then that makes me be like, where does this money go?
Right, you start getting
politics. I turn into, like, a grumpy old man.
There's a pothole.
Like 24 hours,
And you're like, I pay all my money in tax, I'm going to hit a pothole.
By the way, we should tell everybody that Jeff Dye is here, and he is going to be at Fasani Comedy Theater tonight through Sunday?
Yeah, tonight and tomorrow. Yeah, no,
just two?
I leave
two.
Sunday, so two tonight, two tomorrow.
Listen, we love Jeff as a guest on this show, but he's a very funny comedian. I watch all your clips. You do a great job of putting clips on Instagram.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Yeah, that's the new way.
Yeah, but I mean, anybody who doesn't, like if I see a comic, and I'm like, I don't know if I should go see this guy. I don't know if he's good. And I watch the Instagram. I can get a good idea of what I'm going to deal with there.
Yeah. I'm noticing your Funko Pops right now.
I just like the music ones.
You like the music ones?
Mm-hmm.
The ZZ Top one's pretty great.
Are you going to make fun of me, or are you appreciating them?
I like them.
This room.
I'm a fan.
This room is my home studio that we have that I built before COVID, not knowing what I would do with it. And then COVID hit, and I'm like, well, guess what?
This is the new office.
Now we're knocking down this wall.
I like everything you have up.
Except?
I wasn't going to say
except. Oh, you seem like you're...
If you need me to pick something.
Is it maybe his Ed Sheeran Funko Pop that he has amongst all the great rock
icons? He's so used to someone giving him crap.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, well, what don't you? Like,
yeah.
I was like, I like everything. It's fine.
You know, I have kids.
I even like the people in here.
Yeah.
Like,
thank you.
Not all of them.
I mean...
No, I like the way he's dressed. I like this guy. I trust him. He's a Rays fan.
He's wearing silk teddy bear pajamas.
We were supposed to wear. It was your idea to wear pajamas.
Yeah, right. I didn't think
for
that was
you
a good
to
look.
Wear pajamas.
Then I realized Jeff was coming in. And I didn't think that was a good idea.
I will say, I'm you know, Ralphie was kind of a jerk to me.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was kind of a butthole.
Really?
To me.
Why? Ralphie was one of my really good friends. Yeah. What did he do? I believe it, but I know that Ralphie was abrasive sometimes, but he deep down he liked people.
Well, he wanted people to like him. You know? Yeah. He was a sweet guy. Like, and here's the thing. I was a young comic. I wanted him to like me, too. Like,
yeah.
That's my whole career.
Tell me, is there a specific incident?
Yeah,
or
so
just
I opened for... So I was supposed to... They're like, we need you to do a... It was Barry Katz. It was like, can you go down to Pasadena or something? And there's a big show. It's going to be Ralphie May and Jeff Ross co-headlining.
Okay.
Can you go, like, just do 15 minutes, bring them up?
Yep.
That's easy. Yeah, yeah. Whatever you want, man. Like, I would do it for free just to be in front of those guys.
Yeah.
They gave me like $1,500. So I drive down there. I'm all excited. I'm nervous a little bit. It's my first like week in L.A. And both those guys I really looked up to. You know?
Yeah.
So I go up, and I was doing this shtick at the time where I would come out on stage. I don't do it anymore, obviously, but I came out on stage, and I would play with the microphone a little bit but not say anything.
Yeah,
I'd say, oh, Jeff Dye, everyone claps. I'd wait for the claps to, like, die down, and then I'd mess with the mic, and then I'd move the mic stand, and then I would, like, really make a meal of not talking.
Right.
And then after, like, 45 seconds of silence, I'd be like, well, what? You guys don't get to work right when you get to work, do you?
Okay.
Yeah, you like to check your emails.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm getting comfortable. Yeah. Got to laugh, blah, blah, blah. I bring up Ralphie. In between, I bring up Jeff. After the show, Ralphie comes up to me and goes, hey, you know that... I don't know if we can curse on here.
Not really.
Curse. All right. He goes, you know that crap you did before where you said, oh, you don't get right to work when you... He goes, you know I do that. And I said, oh, I didn't. You know, I didn't know that. Sorry, you don't know what to say. And he goes, also, George Carlin used to do it. And in my mind, I was like,
you stole it from George Carlin.
You just admitted to me that you took something from George Carlin. And like, now you're accusing me of taking it from you when I've never seen anyone do that.
Yeah.
Like, that was just like some offhand thing that I was doing for like a
I've never month. Seen Ralphie do it.
Yeah. And I believe it was my theory that he liked it and wanted it.
Oh.
And it was his way of going, hey, don't do that.
See, now knowing Ralphie, I think Ralphie would go, hey. You know, I bet you do. I like that. I'm going to use it.
Yeah, that's what
I'm surprised you didn't just say that to you.
But he made me feel crummy.
Yeah.
About it, and I
wonder
why. What to say.
I wonder why, because he's usually like real helpful, especially like if he thinks it's somebody like a younger comic.
Yeah, I might have just caught him at a weird night or something, or maybe it was, I don't know. And I was pretty banged up. I was drinking and having a good time, and I think also there's something about me that's inherently unlikable at first, where people are like, you know, they're like, this guy just came in with, I think I was dating like a Playmate of the Year at the time, so I come in with like my girlfriend and I look this for you know the way I look and so I think he just inherently was like I don't like this guy
that might have been
F
true
this guy
yeah
I'm
that
gonna
might have
put
been
him in
true.
His place I think that is something that's I've dealt with since age 18 is like people look at me and go I'm gonna take that guy down a peg
you because
and
you,
I think that's what
think,
Ralphie wanted to do was like take me down a peg
you think you'd be a jerk off
I think people think that.
Yeah, but you're not that's and if you talk it. Spend 5 seconds talking to you realize you're a nice guy.
I love people I go I want people to be my friend.
Did you, when you were here Super Bowl weekend?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Super fun.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Did you go to the game?
Side splitters. I could have went to the game.
I know you could have. That's what I thought.
I'm anti Super Bowl.
Why?
Love watching it on a TV with a bunch of friends.
Yeah. If it was not my team, I would not have gone.
Did you go?
I did go. But I went only because my son's his first year that he really loved football.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Brady
How
here.
How great was it?
One of the best part about
one of my favorite Super Bowls.
Not only was the GOAT playing on my team that I've loved for so long and suffered through crappy years.
Yeah.
Not only that, but I got to go with my best friend, his son, my brother.
Nice.
We all went to the game. We had a great time. And the best part about it was there was so much room in the seats. Stretch out a little bit.
I love that.
Spread the legs out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been to one Super Bowl. It's when my Seahawks like killed the Broncos.
Right.
Greatest. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And all of my friends were like, can you believe Jeff Dye was there like on the 50-yard? Like, we had like great seats.
Yeah.
I was dating a girl that was like a millionaire at the time, and my birthday is February 4th, and so the Super Bowl is like on February 3rd or February 2nd. So she bought me 4 tickets to the Super Bowl. Great seats, like phenomenal seats. And I literally am sitting there going, this is the greatest day ever. But here's the thing. It was only to brag on the internet. that I am at the Super Bowl and I'm watching my
But it was your team, though.
I know, and that was great.
Yeah.
But even that Super Bowl, I would have rather just watched on TV with 50 of my buddies for free.
Yeah.
We could eat and drink and, you know, like, it's better.
I have a theater upstairs and we all got in there for the playoff game and that was pretty fun, too.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, because I had to spend a lot of money on tickets for the Super Bowl, but I only really did it because my son really wanted to go. If not, I would have been very happy sitting upstairs.
Yeah, I will tell you,
you
though.
You can't bring 50 friends to the Super Bowl.
No.
Like,
I'm a Steelers fan, so I got to go to the Steelers here when they beat the Cardinals.
Nice.
And I took my dad, who's been a lifetime Steelers
fan. Love the Steelers. Horrible Super Bowl, by the way.
So, no, that Super Bowl was
horrible
great. No, that Super Bowl was great because the Cardinals came back and then the Steelers won.
That was pretty bad.
No. It's rated as one of the
Warner's team.
One of the greatest Super Bowls. Anyway, what you don't want to do is have a Super Bowl party when your Steelers are playing and they lose to the Packers. That's a terrible party.
Yeah.
I had people over to my house, and I'm like, why did I even do this?
Right.
I don't want anyone in my house when the Steelers are playing. It was the worst.
Yeah, that's true. I just remember thinking, like, going to Super Bowl cost tons of money.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I bought, like, a double espresso and, like, a hot chocolate, and it cost me, like, $40.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
What? We're not even drinking yet. Like, how is this?
I bought so much dumb. Shot glasses and things on there. Yeah.
I literally bought like a Super Bowl scarf, a Super Bowl, and my girlfriend at the time shouldn't help myself.
I taught my son an important lesson. He has a Spanish teacher, which he doesn't do great in that class, and he has a Spanish teacher who loves the Buccaneers. So if you wear a Buck shirt, he gives you extra credit on your test on test day.
That's amazing, but it shouldn't be allowed.
No.
You get an extra 2 points, not that big of a deal. But I said to him, I go, you after the game, you go buy that guy a shirt. And he goes, why? I go, you got to go give that guy a tomorrow you're going to walk in, you're going to be like, I went to the Super Bowl, and I brought you a championship shirt that nobody has yet unless you were there.
For life.
Oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, I can't wait to see his report. These are the life lessons I'm teaching my
100%,
son.
Yeah, that's how life works. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. This is Jeff Dye. Jeff is going to be at Vasani Comedy Theater in, what is it technically?
Port Charlotte.
Is it Port Charlotte? Okay, Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, Sarasota, all you people down there should be going to the show and seeing Jeff. It's only tonight and tomorrow night. And how are things going at the castle? I saw Damon Wayans was there. I mean, you guys are steady working, right? Okay. Listen to me. I'm gonna tell you this right now. A lot of comedy clubs, and you know this, serve food.
Yeah.
And that food is a strong 4 on a scale of 1 to 10. This thing is a nice restaurant that also does comedy.
There's only two comedy clubs, or three comedy clubs where I'll vouch for the food.
Yeah.
It's Vasani's Comedy Theater, a.k.a. Comedy Zone. I don't know what you guys are claiming over there. The Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach.
Yeah.
And then the other one's a Florida one also, in Marco Island.
Oh, yeah, Captain Brian's.
Yeah. Where people are like, and you know, I love Captain Brian, I'm whatever, you know, I'm not going to try to talk bad, but the crowds are awful.
Yeah.
And then, but that's how good the food is, that people go, oh, you know, the food there.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
did Ralphie call it?
He was a red lobster with a stage.
Well, but that's an insult to the food.
Yeah. Oh, he loved
and
the food.
And doing a real justice for the stage because that place is so I mean, I literally, like, on Halloween weekend, I don't remember a single joke I told. I got so hammered that I even was, like, texting Captain Brown. I was like, hey, man, if you want me to come back and like, redo this weekend.
I owe you.
Really? Yeah. Like, I was in a bad way.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Ralphie, so Captain Brian's is not in Marco Island anymore. It's in Naples or
Naples,
Fort Myers. And I actually, the first time I went there was to see Ralphie, and that the food was fantastic.
Amazing
there.
Food.
Yeah, I just sat at the Barn 8. I did. I was like, I'm going to sit here. I had something else I wanted to tell you. The food thing got ahead of me. You need a Vasani and this, that, and anything. Do you know, are you performing with anybody? Anybody with
Chet
you?
Chet Zumok.
Oh, that's so funny. That's what I was going to tell you. That's exactly what I was going to tell you.
Man.
I forgot. So somebody from the show must have put on that you were going to be on the show on Instagram. So I fell asleep. Bert Kreischer forgets that I go to bed at a 8th grader's time to do this show. So my alarm went off. I mean, my phone went off at like 10:30 last night. And it said, it was Bert, and it said, Jeff Dye's on your show tomorrow. I love that guy.
Yeah, I love Bert.
And
we talked on the phone last night.
Really?
I was pretty drunk.
I mean, that's why you knew.
He probably was, too.
I love Bert.
Yeah.
And he wrote, and I wrote back, he's so handsome. And Bert wrote, and I'm going to read it to you. It's so funny because I wrote, he's so handsome, and he wrote, yeah, he is. Too bad he has to work with Chet Zumok. And I like Chet, too, but I know they don't.
I love Chet. I love Bert. They're fine. They get along. They had, like, a falling out a long time ago, but they're both good. Bert's one of, like, one of the greatest dudes.
He really is.
I'm so happy when successful things happen to like good people.
That's odd because most of your people most of your people aren't like that. You're always secretly jealous when somebody does well. I tell Bert all the time. I go, because Bert and I have been friends for years, and I watched him come up, and I would be telling people about him, and everybody like, ugh. And I knew he was going to be huge.
Yeah, and it takes time.
It does, and he had to find his niche of where he needed to be. But he said a good thing to me. He said, "I feel like you taught me how to do radio, and I taught you how to talk to comics on the radio." Mm-hmm. And I think he's right because Bert didn't just come in when he was in town. I mean, he would call me at 3 o'clock in the morning when he was drunk, which is 6 o'clock in the morning here, and we just put him on the air, and we both learned how to. You can't bring a comic in and just sit here and ask him to do his act. Nobody wants to see that.
Do they jokes, clown.
That's Bob and Tom. Give us 10 setups.
Write them out.
So you've been to the gym? I was like, yeah, I was in the gym. Such a jerk.
No, I know. It's so funny that everybody, there's not been anybody that I could think of that's like, man, I love that Bob and Tom show. But they all say the same thing. Like, terrible show. People are all right, but we have to go on there because they sell tickets.
I love Bob. I love Tom. I they're great people. I love the whole show. Chick. I even love Chick, who nobody likes. But it is just not fun to go there. And then let's say 10 people come from that, which I'm being very generous. Let's say 10 people come to my comedy show because they heard me on Bob and Tom. Then they go, didn't he do this on the radio this morning?
That's the whole point.
Like, it feels fraudulent.
That's the whole point of, like, if I go have a guy on the show and he's so funny that I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go see this guy this weekend. And then I go and see the same material and be like, this guy sucks. He's got nothing.
It also kills that illusion of, like, that we're just being off the
funny.
Cuff.
No,
Bert's a great guy, man. I love that guy to death. I think that something happens in a comedy career. That's why I'm so excited about just life and what I do is because every day tomorrow I could just get like a huge thing and like everything changes. Like Tiffany Haddish literally
overnight
was nobody.
Yeah.
She was doing comedy at the Laugh Factory. Like she was begging me to do like a guest set like on a show at the Laugh Factory. Now she wouldn't go to the Laugh Factory if they paid her $40,000.
Right.
Like she just turned a corner. And I remember Bill Burr, he was at Giggles Comedy Club in 2005. I was like opening for him 2006. I was like an open micer. I was crap, but I just wanted to hang out with Bill Burr. And Bill Burr was like, this is crazy. My pilot just got canceled. And he's like complaining while he's making $8,500 that weekend. And I remember just thinking like, oh, you know, it's all right. You know, like, you're really funny. Like, I was just thinking like, if I could just be at his level someday.
Yeah.
And then he just turned to this corner where it was like,
all of a sudden he became that guy. Yeah,
and like, same with Bert. Bert was funny, doing fine. He had like a roller coaster show.
Yeah.
You know, he was drinking every night and he had like, you know, a beautiful girlfriend, now wife. Like, he was still fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
But
you turn a corner where like, oh, things are different now.
Right. This is the perfect example of that. He called me up one day. He goes, God, I just talked to Bert. Bert's got a tour bus. And I was like, man, that's the way to go on the bus. And I go, yeah. And he goes, so he told me, he was like, just buy a tour bus. And I was like, I can't just buy a tour bus. He goes, Bert, what you have to do is you have to take a weekend and know that the money you make that weekend is going towards a tour bus.
Sure.
And Bert said, we make a lot of different salaries, you and I.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I didn't say that right, but you know what I mean. He
goes, yeah, I can't buy a tour bus with
$2,500. Right, right. And then he goes, we make different salaries.
When Bill Burr was on the show and he was doing the improv, I went to see him, and then after the show, I saw he was selling DVDs and stuff, and I went over to him to buy a DVD, and he goes, no, take it. And I go, no. I go, I've talked to enough comedians to know that's where you make your money is the merchandise and stuff. So I paid him for the DVD. That's now he's funny. Flying around in helicopters.
But
and
it's
stuff
still
like
nice
that.
Of you.
Yeah.
You know, think about, like, what was that old, like, debate with Pearl Jam? Like, he was, like, so mad that they were streaming music. You know what I'm talking about?
Pearl Jam had, I think it was ticket stuff was their big thing that they were fighting against.
Ticketmaster, yeah.
Oh, was
Metallica
it?
Was Napster. Metallica.
Napster. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. It's like, listen, yeah, we might make good money or whatever, but like, it's still appreciated when people buy your thing.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
That's why I do it.
He's the only one I know that still buys music.
I'll buy the music on iTunes, just because it's like, nobody else. Everyone's on Spotify.
But
so
wait,
you
subscribe. You still pay like a thing for iTunes music?
No. I don't have
Spotify you pay for.
No, I get free Spotify.
No, but he.
I just buy the album.
He'll actually buy stuff off of iTunes where everybody else is just paying $10 a month for Spotify.
And you're not actually. Apple Music's $10 a month, and you can download anything for free.
Right, but how much of that money is going to the artist is what the thing is. is, you know, not even a cent of your money is going to your favorite artist, probably.
That's where my responsibility ends, so I paid my $10.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but I didn't know. I just thought, I don't know, they got some agreement with Apple, right?
Yeah. But I guess it's a big deal. They're like, oh, we don't get any money from that, but I will buy
local bands, newer bands, if I had to. I have tipped people online who do online shows. Mm-hmm. I think that's great.
Do you have a Patreon?
I don't. So I do a podcast with Robert Kelly every night.
Love him.
And that is...
I listen to it sometimes.
That is a Patreon.
There's a lot of podcasts
right now. Yeah. So what we do is we do the Patreon, so it's live. And when it's live, you can watch it. But the next day, it's up on YouTube for free. You can watch it for free.
Nice.
So, yeah. So that's been the best thing. I'm at a point in my career where I make good money, and I don't want to rape my audience of money. I don't want to come up with a new shirt every week. I don't want to ask them to buy. I know I have a good audience, and I have a loyal audience. I don't want to keep asking them for money. I'd rather give them as much free stuff as I can.
Well, because that's what I was going to ask. Is like, at what point do you say, like, they're making enough? Like, I don't need to keep give. But here's the thing. That's what, like, patrons were back in the day. Like, that's what it used to be. Like,
if I'm giving you a product that you... that I think is worth charging you for. Mm-hmm. Like, if we do a live gig or we do a thing somewhere and you have to buy a ticket for it, I'm giving you a whole event that you would not have and you can choose to come or not come. Right, so that's a different story. Plus, we have to take that money that we make and we have to produce the event. So it's not all we're keeping all the money. That's a different story. But I just...
Like, for example, like Tim Dillon, right?
Yeah.
Brilliant. He's making $95,000 a month doing YouTube videos like at his house with the with the dude.
Yep.
Like, I mean, like, he's crushing it.
Yeah.
But then I start to think, like, how many people are maybe subscribing to his Patreon going, hey, you can see how much he's making. And going, he's making 95. Then maybe I don't want to.
Yeah. No, I know. I know. I can see.
When do you kind of, like, step back?
Yeah. I don't know if I can say this on the air. We're coming off the Patreon.
Okay.
To move to something else.
Oh, nice.
To where it'll be more available for people. We'll make more money, and it'll be more available for people for free, and I think that'll be a big step for Bobby and I.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I enjoy doing that. I feel like I am talking for 4 hours a day, and then when this show is over in the afternoon, I have more stuff to say. And I do it. And I'm doing it with Bobby, who is a friend of mine and a comedian.
You're a comedian at heart, my friend.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I'm able to get on there, and all the stuff that's been brewing in my head the whole day.
Yeah.
We have a whole new platform to do it, and I can curse there, and we can be ourselves and make fun of each other.
Bobby's the best, dude.
He is really good.
Here's how I know Bobby likes me. We did a thing at the Comedy Cellar. It was like basically like Comedy Central's like Comedy Cellar TV thing. And I did a stand-up set that they were going to edit and put on there. But then they're like, oh, and we do these little buffers like in between where it's like just everyone at the table at the cellar like chopping it up.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Like, who you got me with? You know, like I thought it'd be like Mateo, the usual like Comedy Cellar, me, Colin Quinn, who get along great. They go, no, it's going to be you, Bobby Kelly, and, gosh, who was the other person?
Voss?
Oh, no, Keith Robinson.
Oh.
And I was like, dude,
the meanest guy I've ever
met. What are you talking
Look
about?
Look at you, pretty face.
Yeah, you can't
stupid, tall
sit me down with these guys. You can't put me at that table.
Yeah.
And they're like, I recommend just, you know, laying low.
Yeah.
That's what I
recommend.
And I remember thinking, like, this is not going to go well. This is going to be horrible. And what happened, once the cameras turned on, Bobby and Keith just went at each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was great. Yep. I would, like, check them, and they're like, ah, look at the young guy, you know? And then they would just go, and I was like, I can't believe this happened. And the guy who works there, Steve, you know Steve?
I don't know.
One of the greatest guys ever. He's actually on the opening of Louie. He's like the gatekeeper for the audience who gets in and who doesn't every night at the cellar. And he was like, the fact that you just sat there and they didn't make fun of you.
Right.
You got to chime in and make your jokes. That Keith and Bobby didn't go after you even once shows how like inherently likable you are.
Right.
He's like, I'm not saying you're funny. I'm not saying you're great. I'm just saying like the fact that those dudes didn't just like rip you apart.
On the Patrice documentary, Bill Burr said, I'd see the table and I'd make my way over there, but I wouldn't go over there until I had five insults to fire back at them because that's how brutal it was. I've been in a Comedy Cellar a lot, and I won't go. Like, if I'm with Bobby or something, he goes to the table, I go, boop, go to the other side of the building. I'm not going anywhere near.
Yeah, well, that's smart.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, that's not my place, and that's not, I'm not going to try to wedge my way into anywhere, you know? Those guys are Keith Robinson. Keith doesn't really come down here, and I don't really know that our audience knows him. But I love him.
Very funny.
Hilarious.
He's evil.
One of the meanest son of a bitches ever.
Yeah.
He's been on the podcast a lot. And he gets on. He doesn't know how to operate his own camera. He's always shooting his forehead up, yelling at Alexa. And then we have Rachel Feinstein on the air. And she's on, and she's like, oh, hey, Keith. And he's like, nah, don't talk to me. And she's like, why? And he goes, you're a terrible mother. Just ripping into her. He just doesn't care, man. He doesn't care at all.
Dude, he was telling me a story. I don't know if he'd probably be mad if I shared this. I don't care.
He'll never know.
He'll never hear it. I'm hoping.
Tell him tomorrow.
Keith's asleep. So he went to like Paris or something like that. And it was for comedy. And everybody was going like, what's the good rep? We got to find like the best food and blah, blah. And he went to Cheesecake Factory like every day. He's like, I don't do this. Oh, no, it was Rome. It was in Rome.
Oh, Rome.
It was actually in Rome. And he was saying like, I don't do none of that. And I was like, Keith, do you realize how funny this is?
Yeah.
The most famous saying in the world is like, when in Rome,
right.
Do as the Romans do. And you were in Rome and like, I eat McDonald's. Like, he was just so happy to be like, screw your country. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. And I just like, he's just so unapologetically himself.
He doesn't care. He's so funny. He's people like that are few and far between these days.
Oh, for sure.
Listen to me. I'm so glad that you made your trip all the way here. Vasani Comedy Theater is where Jeff will be tonight and tomorrow night. Go see him. He's extremely funny and a great, likable guy, regardless of what Ralphie said about him in the past. thank you. What now? You still doing the Bradshaw thing, or is that all over?
That's all over, but I got a few things coming out. I got a thing on Netflix. I'm not supposed to like announce it because it's like a secret, but then a couple of things. One thing on the History Channel, and just a ton of stand-up. I'm doing a ton of stand-up.
Good. Hey, see, I told you this the first time we met you. You are the guy to me that Jimmy Fallon will be like, when I retire, I'd like Jeff Dye to be the Tonight Show host. Yeah, I think you'd be great at that. Thank you so much for coming here.
Thanks
I appreciate
for having
it. Great to see you. I was really bummed out that we didn't get
go
you
Rays.
Super Bowl week, man. I was like, oh, it sucks. He's one of the guys I look forward to. And then it stinks. Did you say go Rays?
Yeah, go Rays.
Get out of here. Is it Yankee territory in this room?
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
He likes the Rays.
He doesn't like
it.
Well, I love
he doesn't even know
so
baseball.
No.
Yeah, I know baseball.
He could not name it. I might be confusing you with someone else.
Well,
I mean, I know you, but I'm saying, like, I thought you were a Rays guy.
No.
No, he doesn't know sports at all.
I love
– we'll favorite talk about is football, and he just yells Marino.
Marino, yeah.
You don't want to hear a fun conspiracy theory.
Please.
So, Babe Ruth might have been the first black player in Major League Baseball.
Why?
So Babe Ruth grew up in Baltimore, right? I know a ton of baseball stuff. And Babe Ruth grew up in Baltimore. His mom had no one has any idea who his mom is.
Okay.
His dad was just this old, like, crazy bar owner who literally, like, would hook up with prostitutes and all these different, like, women, right? And so when a girl got pregnant and had Babe Ruth, just left him at this bar, basically, for his dad to, like, raise
him,
and then at a certain age, he got rid of him, and that's why he was adopted.
He went to the orphanage,
And the orphanage, and then that guy adopted him. That's why he's called Babe.
Right.
George Herman, whatever. But, like, then they were like, oh, the guy adopted him just to make him play for the Baltimore baseball.
Yeah.
So, like, they were like, they called him Babe because he was adopted at, like, 17 or whatever age. But anyways, they believe that his mom might have been a black woman, and, like, he was half black. And, like, if you look at the photos, right?
Yeah, he does have.
He's kind of got, like, the nose and the features.
So can they go to his old glove and grab some DNA out there and send that to 23andMe and figure it out?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if that'd be a thing, but but that could be why he was phenomenal at baseball.
Yeah, he was an early black player.
Yeah, he's like the only black guy in all white league, just hitting dingers, and everyone's like, I don't know, something different about this player.
It's all the hot dogs he eats.
That's
not what it is.
Thank you, Jeff. We got to wrap up the show. We're done now for the week. Yeah. Thank you very much, Hoppy and Spencer, around the board today, and we'll be back live Monday. Go see Jeff this weekend at Vasani in Port Charlotte. Hoppy, thank you, dude.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, pal. Gio, happy birthday wherever you are. we're out of here. The after show is up next. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.